are listening to WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3. Welcome to Encouraging One Another Ministries. And now, here is your host, Tom Jones.
The Lord reigns, let the people shout. He reigns in righteousness. Let the earth rejoice. The Lord reigns, let the people clap their hands. Angels shout, the redeemed have come to dance. To celebrate, to celebrate. He reigns. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. We will sing and shout.
Yes, good morning, saints of God. This is Tom, Tom Jones, and it is time to wake up. I include myself in that, you all, because Tom needs to wake up as well, because there's things going on that I don't know about you, Danny, or you that are listening, the things that are going on, you know, in our country or even in your neighborhood, you know, and how I don't want to concentrate on it. My wife just hit the nail on the head when she said, well, don't worry about what people are doing, and she was right. Be concerned what the Lord wants you to do, and that kind of struck a chord and said, you know, sweetheart, you're right. what does he want me to do? What does he want you to do? You know, let's stay focused on that, because we're all gifted. We're all called, and we're all called to do something. You know, God didn't create you to lay around. He didn't create you to not be gifted, because the gifts in you, the Bible says, the gift in you will make a way. You won't make a way. You know, the gift in you will make a way for you. You know, so that's so true. She couldn't have said anything better to me. She said, well, don't dwell on what people should be doing that they're not doing. Concentrate on what you should be doing that you might not be doing that you should be doing. And I thought, oh, but you're absolutely right, sweetheart. So I'm on live, back on the radio, back sealing up. Still have a little trouble with it, all the stitches I had. I mean, it was probably, I don't mean to go on about my health issues, but I tell you, that was the most challenging thing I think I've ever gone through in my life. Plus, financially, the doctor didn't take my insurance, and, you know, it's like, okay, all right. You know, but anyway, just remember, saints of God, if you're on the edge of needing a miracle, you know, we serve a living God that his word says, his word will tell you that I am the God that healeth thee. He also says that I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor the seed begging for bread. And so that's the thing I love about the Lord. He's never late. He's always on time. Just remember that. I want to thank Art McPherson from McPherson Financial. He was on with me last week, and, you know, I have to tell you, it does get lonely sometimes being on by myself, you know, and I love encouraging you all and sharing the word of God, but sometimes bouncing things off of someone else, really, sometimes it helps me. Sometimes I get a little stuck on the radio, and I try not to, but Art, thank you for being on with me. You're very gifted. You have that radio voice. I don't. And you're very gifted and talented. So my grateful thanks to you, your lovely wife, Julie. And he's from Art McPherson Financial Group. So if you're looking for someone to help you with some money, maybe think about Art McPherson, the financial firm, helping you. And I tried to get him to talk about it. But next time he's on with me, I'll have him go in more detail. But, you know, I messed up in my life. You know, but just let's all remember something. You know, if you've made a mistake, forgive yourself and move on. You know, I made a couple of bad investments I thought were good. But I get a little, I don't know what the word is, traumatized around stockbrokers. I don't know why, I just do. But anyway, you know, God, let me tell you, God is a God of a second chance, and we need to be a good steward of what he gives us. And I'm trying to be, and I want you to be as well. You know, this name and claim it stuff that's going on in America, you know, you want it, you can have it. No, you can't. You know, that's a false gospel, false teaching. You know, we do serve a big God. We serve a very, very big God. And I think we've gotten maybe a little spoiled. Maybe, you know, our gospel now is the new gospel. Bless me gospel, maybe. Jesus is going to bless me. He wants to bless you, but spiritually, physically, and financially. But we need to stay in tune with him. You know, we need to stay focused on him. Keep our eyes on him. Nothing else, not things on this earth, because the scriptures also tell us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So it seems to be that we have a lot of people wanting and wanting and wanting. And there's nothing wrong with things. Now, don't get me wrong. God wants you to have things, you know. He does. But let things not be more important than spending quality time with Jesus, trying to keep up with the so-called the Joneses. No one needs to keep up with me, for sure. You know, I'm just being honest with you. But let's stay focused, because the scriptures tell us. What's that one scripture? I'm trying to remember. I believe it's in Matthew. Yes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall follow. You keep your eyes on Jesus. You follow him. You study the word, because the word tells us, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. Also, I want you to be in prayer, because I really feel the greatest battles that I know I've been going through, and I know you're going through some. You know what is prayer. Prayer is our greatest weapon at our disposal to fight off battles and to win a battle. You know, you've received not because you've asked not. And are you spending quality time with the Lord? So, you know, let's spend time with the Lord. You know, let's spend time in his word to get to know him. And that's how you're going to get to know him, is read the word of God. You know, you're going to get to know him. Oh, I didn't know that. You know, my pastor brings the Bible to life. And when he preaches, he has my undivided attention. And there's a lot of great pastors. And, you know, just listen to him. You know, I don't know about any of you. I think I shared this a week ago with Art when he was here. You know, I don't know about any of you, but when I, you know, I went back to work the other day and a little challenging. And you work hard. You listen to people. People aren't happy anymore. They complain a lot. One customer will call me probably 30 times in one day, and she'll even call me one in the morning, and I don't mind it. I told her, you can call me anytime. If it's an emergency, you can call me. But she'll call me just worrying about a plant. And let's stay focused. What is the you know, why are we here? We are here to be a blessing to one another, not complaining, murmuring, grumbling, you know, but we're here to be a blessing. And, you know, we can all get off track easily. I can. I'll be the first to admit it. You know, the word says perfect peace is his whose mind is stayed on him. You know, don't look, there's always going to be people having things that you may not be able to have. And if you want it, well, then work for it, you know, and, you know, save up for it. But stay focused. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I'm going to play a couple songs. Then I'm going to share something by Ann Graham Lotz, Activate the Power. And then I'm going to go into my message. And this one song, you're going to be surprised because it's a Christmas song. And I thought, why don't we just play Christmas songs just one time a year, you know? And this one I really like, and I know my pastor likes this one because he got real excited when they played this one several times before Christmas. He got real excited with this song. So I just thought I'd play it, and there's a couple others I'm going to play. I just want to worship the Lord today. Let's get in the habit of worshiping him. Let's get in the habit of spending time with him, just talking to him. And whatever you need, you can call on him. He says, call upon me, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know us not of. Are you calling on him? You know, are you drawing, as the word says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw nearer to you. That's my prayer for each and every one of you, that if your gifts are dormant in your life, that you'll ask Jesus to bring those gifts out of you like a tree. Trees go dormant. A lot of them go more dormant up north. Down here, there's a few that go dormant in the winter months, but sometimes people's lives, with the gifts God's given them, they just close up. You know, they just close up. And I pray that if you're listening and you have gifts in your life and you've not used them, I pray that Jesus awakens you to use those gifts that he's given you, that you can be a greater blessing to your family, to your neighborhood, to your community, our country, and to the world. Because we're all gifted. But those gifts have to come out of dormancy and come alive. And I pray that, because, you know, the scriptures tell us your gift in you will make a way. So we're all gifted. And I believe we're all called. If you don't know what your gift is, ask the Lord what those gifts are. And I tell you what, he'll reveal it to you. You're going to know. He's going to tell you what your gifts are. But when you use them and you become famous, rich, whatever, make sure that you give him all the glory and the praise and the honor. Not yourself. You know, give him all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name. Well, enjoy the Christmas song I'm putting on, and I'm going to play another one. I just want to worship Jesus this morning before I share Ann Graham Lotz, and my message today is John 10:10. So I'll be right back.
understand that my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I got is hurt in these four words. Thy will be done.
Amen.
Thy
Amen.
Will be done. Thy will be done. I know you're good, but this don't feel good right now. And I know you think of things I could never think about. It's hard to count it all joy, distracted by the noise, just trying to make sense of all your promises. Sometimes I gotta stop, remember that you're God, and I am not so.
You'll love this song.
The hills and everywhere.
Boy, that was by Chris Tomlin. And boy, I tell you what, I wish I could sing. I know my name's Tom Jones. For some of you older people, you'll remember the singer, Tom Jones. A lot of people, when I call, you know, one time on Valentine's Day, I'm getting off track a little bit, I ordered my wife some flowers. I called in. It was a florist downtown Melbourne. And I said, "This is Tom Jones. I'd like to order some flowers for Valentine's Day for my wife." They didn't make those flowers up. They thought it was a prank call. Because Tom Jones used to be a really popular singer, I believe, back in the 50s, 60s, 70s. He's still living and still married to the same wife. And he was different. He has music and, you know, my pastor at the church says, "Please don't sing Delilah in the church." And I said, "Don't worry, I won't, and I can't sing." The first time I met Johnny Cash in Hawaii, he goes, "Tom Jones, I've always wanted to meet you." And I said, "That's funny. I've always wanted to meet you too." I thought, surely you can't think that looking like this. I remember one Thanksgiving at Johnny's Cash's home. Spent Thanksgiving one year with his sister Joanne, but she's still living. John's not. And she said, "Oh, we're going to John's house for Thanksgiving." And they made me, so I drove there, and the guard at the gate said, "Whom shall I say is calling?" I said, "That's Tom Jones." He said, "Oh, Tom Jones." Now look, I said, "I'm not the Tom Jones. You know, not looking like this, you know, driving a little Honda Civic, looking the way I look." I said, "You got to be kidding if you think I'm Tom Jones." Wish I were, by the way. But anyway, oh, I tell you what, the Lord has a sense of humor, you know, and my desire for each and every one of you that get closer to him, you remember, laughter is like, the scriptures tell us, laughter is like merry medicine to the soul. You know, it just is. And I don't think we laugh enough. I really don't. I mean, we're out there, everyone's screaming, rioting. They want to divide America now. They just rioting, they're mad. And, you know, it's like, Lord, can you just calm your people down? You know, I remember the scriptures telling us Moses, God, I believe, spoke to Moses and said, your people are just stiff-necked. And well, that's a message in itself. So back on track, there's a devotion that I really like. It's Fixing My Eyes on Jesus. It's Daily Moments in His Word and Graham Lotz. And it's a 365 devotion, one for each day of the year. My wife reads me one every night. And thank you, sweetheart, for doing that, because I dearly, dearly love Ann Graham Lotz. So this message, it says, activate the power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And then there's a little story that goes with it. It said, a man told the store clerk a huge tree had fallen on his roof. He needed the best chainsaw the store carried, he said. The clerk immediately recommended a chainsaw that he promised would cut through a tree like soft butter, so the man bought it. But several days later, the man was back. He said, "I've tried for 2 days, and the saw doesn't work." The clerk reached out and pulled a little black cord, and the chainsaw came alive. The man exclaimed in amazement, "What's the noise?" He said he had been trying to use the chainsaw without activating the power. It's like someone trying to live a Christian life without activating the power. The power is not what, but a who. And then that is the Holy Spirit. Do you think the Christian life doesn't work? Then isn't it time for you to activate the power? Yield your life to the Holy Spirit. This is by Ann Graham Lotz. And that you know, Jesus said, "I'm going to send you a comforter," and that comforter is the Holy Spirit. And, you know, do you lack joy? You know, are you even following Jesus? Are you struggling? Have you walked away from him? Do you really know him? Are you committed to him? You know, we need to fall deeper in love with Jesus every single day. And let's be careful that we don't become like a Pharisee and become religious and, you know, that I'm better than you, you know, and I know the word, you know, let's be careful, because what we need to do is read the word and ask the Holy Spirit to help us, guide us, help us activate the word and not just keep the word in the head, but put it in the heart. Because when you put the word in the head, you know, it just stays there. You can become very, very religious, like the Pharisees did. They're just religious men running around telling everybody what they should be doing and they're not doing, and they should be. You know, let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let the Holy Spirit guide you and direct you and show you the Word of God and bring the Word of God alive and get it from the head to the heart. And when you get the Word to the heart, I tell you what, you'll be doing things Jesus would be telling you to do. You know, have mercy on people, have grace, sympathy, compassion. You know, you can know all these things in your head, but ask the Lord and the Holy Spirit, bring all this, the Word that I've been studying, bring it from the head to the heart. Let it explode in my heart and become alive. And he'll do that. He'll do that for you. You just have to ask him, you know, and if you're struggling, you call upon him. He said, call upon me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know us not of. Are you calling on him? I tell you, we live in such a busy, busy time in our life where everybody's just in a hurry. Everybody's going this way. And I realize that this is your life's, you know, become really more hectic. I don't know the word. Hustle and bustle, or we're going here, we're taking the kids to soccer. I told my wife last night, I said, if I had kids, I said, they'd only have one sport, because they're not running their dad all over Brevard. I'd let them have one sport, and that's it. And let him either play the violin, the guitar, that's it. I'd be a pretty tough dad and say, nope, not going to be running you all around, you know? And I know you're probably, don't turn me off, but you know, you love your kids, you want to see them succeed, but you know, sometimes I think we just get busy at being busy, and we got to be careful with that. You know, I try to call customers and, oh, I got a soccer. I got to take this one to tennis and I got to take this one. And I never get to really talk to them. It's like, I know you're busy, but slow down. You know, some of y'all out there listening, y'all need to slow down. You really do. You know, we're just busy at being busy. You know, I know those things are important for the kids, and they have to be in football, basketball. I tell you what, if I had a son, I'd say, no, son. You pick one sport, and you do that one sport, and you do it well, and then you're going to do your homework. And then, you know, I'm going to make you clean your room up, you know, whether you like it or not. And I might be probably been a tough parent, but, you know, kids do need to have fun. My problem is I didn't get to have any fun because I was an orphan, and I had to work and, you know, get a little money for my sister and I, and cutting grass and shoveling snow and selling flower seeds. And Christmas time, I'd sell chocolate candy and, kids shouldn't have to work that hard. But besides, you know, you want to teach them responsibility and let the Lord help you with that, you know. But slow down, you know, slow down a minute. You know, bow your head and just go into to worship with the Lord. Put a worship song on. Clear your mind, you know, and draw near to him. As his word said, he will draw near to you. And also, make sure you read the word of God, which is so important. Ask the Lord to bring the Word alive to you so that you can understand it. I'm asking the Lord for that. I don't, you know, I've read the Bible. I took Old Testament, New Testament survey. I'm definitely not a scholar. I'm not. Now we'll go to the book of John, 10:10. And I hope you like this one. It says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and then they may have life more abundantly." I want to read that one again. It's in the New Testament. Just remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it's the fourth chapter in the New Testament, fourth book in the New Testament. We're at the book of John, 10:10. "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Are you living that abundant life? Are you? You know, I want to, because I don't know how much time I have left. I'm old now. I'm a little bit older, you know. Each day is a gift when I wake up. I don't see candles next to me, so I wake up and say, oh, another day. Praise the Lord. What does the Lord want me to do today? What does the Lord want you to do today? Come on now. Come on, saints of God. What does he want you to do? You know, and, you know, I just a little bit saddened, you know, when I see our country going in the direction. We have a movement that people are rising up to destroy America and bring us to our knees. They want redistribution of wealth. What's that all about? You know, they want free health care for all. And I'm not picking on. Now I'm not political here. Now let's. I'm not here to be political. But everyone wants free health care. You know, free food, free everything. Now we become anti-God. We become anti-Israel. I even think we're anti-work. We don't even want to work. You know, we need a movement, all right, church. We need to wake up. We need to rise up and speak up. We do. We need a movement in America to shake us up. Shake us up, Lord, to be that light that you've called us to be. Wake us up, God. Tell us to rise up and to speak up. You know, Moses, he didn't know how to speak, but Lord said, open your mouth, son. I'll fill it. Does it say on the money in the government we trust? Get a $5 bill out and look at it. Does it say in the government we trust? No, it says in God we trust. In God we trust. I for the life of me, I don't understand this movement of redistribution of wealth. What's that all about? You know, people work hard. You know, if you want something, you just work hard for it. You learn to work, you know, and I don't understand all this stinking thinking, I call it. I don't understand it. You know, you could say, well, you know, I was raised in poverty and, you know, it's not right for the rich to have what they have. And, you know, look, you couldn't have been any poorer than me. My mom passed away. My dad took off and it was just my sister and I. And I learned how to buy some Campbell's soup. It was cheap. And I made my sister add 5 to 6 cups. And I'm not exaggerating. I said, put 5-6 cups of water in it because it's going to have to last for days. Had no heat. Most of the time we didn't have running water. And that's the truth. I learned to work. My mom taught me don't expect blessings. At her deathbed in the hospital, in Jewish Hospital in Louisville, Kentucky, she said, don't expect blessings, son. Be a blessing. And that's what I'm calling America to be. You all say you need a movement. What kind of movement? We need a Jesus movement. We need to turn America upside down for Jesus, that when we go to the voting booth, we will know how to vote. God's word, God's will, and God's way. This is a Christian nation, and it is founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Have we forgotten that? It is time, America, it is time, churches, to wake up. And for me to wake up as well, that we can hear the essence of Jesus' heart, and his heart beats people, people, people. It beats people. It beats people. And if you want something, go work for it. Don't take from someone else. You need to work for it. And that's what I did as a young boy, and I don't mean to go on about it, but here I had a dead mom. I had a dad that took off, and he said, I said, Dad, what are we going to do? He said, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm leaving. Bye. And he left. And it was just my two sisters and myself. And I thought, Lord, what are we going to do? They're eventually going to take us and tear us apart and take my sister somewhere and me somewhere else. But I told my sisters, be quiet. Don't say anything to anyone with it. We don't have parents because they'll separate us and take us away. And as a young man, it was in the spring when my mom passed away. And my mom got me a little lawnmower that had the blades on it. Not the mowers where you put gas in it. It's just a little self-propelled. You just push it. I took that little lawnmower street after street and asked, knocked on people's doors. They said, yeah, come back next week and cut my yard again. I made all kinds of money. Then in the winter came, and then I started shoveling snow, and then I got an idea to sell chocolate turtle candies for Christmas, and I had boxes and boxes of it. And then in the spring, I would sell flower seeds, and then I'd make my sister make pot holders. You know, they were that little, I don't know, you young ones won't know what I'm talking about, but wool would sell this little frame, and you buy wool. And I'd buy the wool. One of my sisters is crippled, and I made her, and I actually made her. I said, you're just not going to sit all the time. You're going to make me some pot holders, and I can go door to door to sell them. And she made a lot of them. And then I'd go door to door, and neighbors would get upset with me. They said, well, last time you sold me a pot holder, it was 20 cents. I said, well, inflation. It's this one's 25. You know, this is 25 cents. Things have gone up, and boy, have they today. But that's how I made it. That's how my sisters and I made it. And, you know, we had the water turned off, and I went to the water company, and they said, we got a turn-on fee. I said, I can't afford the turn-on fee. And I said, can you work with me? And they did. And so I made little payments to pay the water bill back, and then they turned our gas off, and I struggled to get that turned back on and tried to pay the gas bill. And there was a lot on me. And then I took my sisters to, my mom was really adamant about going to the dentist. She was so adamant about going to the dentist. And so I went to the dentist, and I think the cleaning was, I think $1.75. And I told the dentist, I said, listen here, you know, will you allow me, if I bring my sisters here, I'll make you payments, and I promise to pay it off. And I did. And then I had to go through counseling in my life, and I picked up another bill that I couldn't afford, and I'd give him 50 cents every time I'd go once a week. And I met Dr. Jim Leggett, and for 1 year I've seen him, I wouldn't talk. Then after the first year, Jim put my chin up and he said, Tom, if I'm going to help you, you have to open your mouth. You're going to have to open your mouth and you're going to have to talk. If I'm going to help you, you're going to open your mouth and talk to me. And I looked up at him with tears because I thought my life was hopeless, but it wasn't. And I had a big bill with the counseling center, but I paid it all back. I went into the military and made sure I paid that all back. You know, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're going through, we serve a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The word, his word reminds us, is there anything too difficult? You can look at John 10:10 again. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. We have kids rising up in our nation wanting, you know, to run the country different, you know, and they want to change America. What do we need to change about it? Well, the thing we need to change about is we need to get back to Jesus. That's what we need to change about it. And you people out there screaming, wanting wealth distribution, you need to get yourself into church, a good church. You know, you're out there screaming, bring America down, you know, down with America, down with capitalism. And, you know, I told one girl, I said, what? I said, we need a movement, all right. And she said, that a boy. I said, no, the movement is the Jesus movement. That's what we need. We need a Jesus movement. But if you look at John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, Jesus said, I came that they may have life and they may have life more abundantly. Are you living that abundant life? Are you living that abundant life? If you're not, today's the day of salvation. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but all have everlasting life. All should have everlasting life. So if you don't know Jesus, you need to come. This is the time to say, bow your head and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've been rattling on, not making sense, down with America. I'm anti-America now. I'm anti-Israel. I'm anti-everything. Change my heart. You know what? We need a heart transplant in America. I think we need a heart transplant in the White House. And I think we need a heart transplant in the Senate and the Congress. There's a lot of good men and women, but they argue. And I don't think we need to argue anymore. I don't think we need to argue. I think we need to listen to one another. And, you know, and have an open heart and not fight all the time. And we're just fighting because I want it my way. You know, people want control. You know, let go of all this stuff. Come on, we need to turn America upside down or we're going to lose it. I'm telling you, folks, we're going to lose America. You won't have a church anymore. You're not going to have a church. You won't. You won't have a church anymore. They'll be telling you you can't even have your Bible. I want to read something, and I just remembered it. I tried to save it, and I'm trying to find it. I don't know if this is it. No, this isn't it. Sorry about that. I want to go to it because it's really, really, really good. This is what I feel is happening to America. I really do, folks. I want to share this with you. The phrase refers to a widely shared, let me go back, the overall, sing a little louder. He recounts the firsthand memory of an elderly man who was a young boy in a small German town during World War II, lived near a railroad track led to a Nazi. And I want to read a little more. The Sunday routine. Every Sunday morning, a freight train packed with Jewish prisoners rode past the small church while the services were underway. The cries. Inmates inside the cattle cars, they were crying out, screaming, and begged for help. as the train rumbled by. The response? Disturbed and overwhelmed by the heartbreaking noise that disrupted their worship, the church congregation leadership made a conscious choice. And their choice was, sing louder. The choir director or the pastor instructed the congregation to sing their hymns louder and louder so they would no longer have to hear the agonizing screams from the tracks people. Are we singing louder? Are we singing louder? Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Help us that if our churches are singing louder and we're not singing for you, that we don't even hear the cries of the poor anymore. We don't even hear the cries of the poor. The story is frequently used in sermons, essays, and educational pieces as a metaphor for human apathy, illustrating how comfortable society can intentionally drown out or turn a blind eye to systemic injustice and the suffering of others. Lord, can you help us with this? The reoccurring refrain from the original account, God forgave all of us who called ourselves Christians, yet did nothing to intervene, serves as an enduring warning against choosing comfort over comforting evil. And I tell you what, saints of God, we're now confronting evil in America. And I'm not being political, so you don't get on me for this. But we're confronting evil. It's being thrown at us, you know, and it's awful. And back in the World War II, the church didn't want to hear the screams. They didn't want to hear it. To make a difference, to go help them in some way, they could have stopped the train somehow. Nope, they were too busy. They didn't want to hear the screams. They wanted the choir director or the pastor wanted them to sing even louder. Is that what you're doing? Are you turning a blind eye to someone that Jesus wants you to help? Maybe you're called to be a senator or congressman. Maybe you're supposed to run for president and become the greatest president we've ever had. Maybe you're called to be a senator, the greatest senator we've ever had. Yes, you can be a Christian too and be a senator, a congressman, and a president. You know, don't try to separate church and state. You know, don't try to do it. You know, but you know, just be that blessing. You that are listening, you need to stand up. You need to get so filled with the Spirit of God in your life that you can stand up, speak up, and make a difference in Brevard, Florida, the nation, and the world. That's it. The word says that your gift in you will make a way. What is your gift? I'm challenging you. What is your gift that Jesus put in your life? What is the gift that he's given you that you're not using? Lord, help us. Lord, help us for not using our gift. Lord, help us for turning a blind eye. Lord, help us for letting evil now rise in America and we're not saying a thing. We're not saying anything. It's time that we don't sing anymore. It's time that we stand up, speak up, and wake up. We need to wake up, church. We need to wake up. Pastors, I'm not trying to pick on you, but you know, well, I don't preach politics in my church. Well, maybe it's time that you do. You know, you can't tell people how to vote. I realize that. But you can tell people you need to vote God's word, God's will, and God's way. And that's so very important. That's so very important that we know how to vote God's word, God's will, God's way. I had someone one time call me on the radio and said, "Now, Brother Tom, you need to calm down. You know, Jesus is in control. Jesus is in control." I said, "Oh, is that right? Jesus is in control." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Brother Tom, you need to calm down." He said, "Jesus has got the whole voting thing in control." I said, "No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. I don't see Jesus going in the voting booth. I see you going in the voting booth." It is time, America, that we wake up. We speak up and stand up. If we don't, I tell you what, God help us. We'll in the days to come, maybe the years to come, and I hope not, we may not be a free nation any longer. You know, we might not be a free nation. You can look on the news of what's happening. Look how they voted in Michigan. It's awful, awful. Look how they voted in New York. You know, it's awful. You know, listen, I don't have anything against Muslims. I don't have anything against anyone. But you come to America, you have to abide by our laws and rules. Don't turn us inside and out. You know, we are a Christian nation founded by Judeo-Christian principles. understand that. You know, there's one president said we're no longer a nation, Christian nation, but we are. When did that ever change? It hasn't changed. We are a Christian nation found on Judeo-Christian principles. Lord, can you wake your people up? Can you wake me up? Can you wake our pastors up? Can you fill us with your Holy Spirit that we get so excited and on fire for you that I pray that you would, the Holy Spirit, come into our lives, come through our veins and our heart. Let our heart be different. Let our heart be Jesus, 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 people, 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 not things and stuff and what I can get out of this life. We need to be, we need to change it, turn this world upside down. You know what? For Jesus. We need to let every man, woman, and so last night, you know, I have to walk so many miles, and I was thinking, okay, the Lord's wanting me to minister to this neighbor, and not ministering but turn them off. But people need to know about Jesus now, and it's time that we speak up. Come on, people. It's time that we speak up to lead people to Jesus. And if you've fallen away from Jesus, I encourage you today that you that are listening will rededicate your life back to Christ. And if you've been disappointed, well, the Lord's let me down. No, he didn't. Man might have let you down, but Jesus will never let you down. He'll never let you down. Stay focused. The word says, perfect peace who's his, whose mind has stayed on who? Jesus. Not the world and not stuff and not things. Don't fall deeper in love with the world system. Fall deeper in love with Jesus. Be a God changer. Come on, saints of God. Come on. You know, start ministering to your neighbor. Start ministering to people in the grocery stores. That's what it's about. That's what it's all about. Because Jesus died on that cross and shed his precious blood that you, that I, might have life and life more abundantly. Let's go back to John 10:10. Let's go back to it. Write it down. You need to underline it. If you've got a highlighter, I want you to highlight John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal. Look what's going on in our country. And to kill. And to destroy. I have come that they may have life. And then they may have life more, what? Abundantly. Are you living that abundant life? You may not get your mansion. You may not get that Cadillac. So what? So what? Be content where you are. Believe, was it Paul that said, I've learned what it is to have and not to have? Be content to whatever state that you find yourself in. Not always in wanting. Why are we always in wanting? Let's stay focused and turn our eyes on Jesus. Let's be so fired up with the Spirit of God that we know who to go to minister. Lord, prepare their hearts for what I have to share. Let's go minister to some congressmen and senators. But don't go and blast them and in hate. Go in love with Jesus' love. Let the Holy Spirit fill you up that you can be a change, just helping man find their way back to Christ. Our nation needs to go back to Christ. That's what it's all about. I mean, these kids in colleges, they're being brainwashed, folks. They're just literally being, I agree with Charlie Kirk. You don't need to go to college. They're just brainwashing you and dumbing you down. You just need Jesus. And Jesus will take that gift in you and he will make a way with you. Look, I was a poor orphan boy. I was a poor orphan boy with nothing. Nothing. A lost mom. My dad left. And I knew that something had to change in my life. I knew something had to change. And something has to change in your life. You know what it is? Wake up. Wake up and take the gifts that God has given you and run with it. You know, you can't say, well, I'm in poverty. Yep. You know what? You just get off that couch and take the gift that God gave you because his gift said that his gift will make a way and you'll become successful. You may not become a millionaire, but you'll never lack if you do what Jesus tells you to do. You know, I sometimes think we're seeking the kingdom and the stuff out of Jesus than seeking the king. You know, God give me, God give me, God give me. No, let's not do that anymore. Let's seek after Jesus, fall deeper in love with Jesus. He went to that cross that you, that I might have life and might have life more abundantly. I'm saddened to see pastors flying $60 million jets and $35 million mansions. Those days are gone. Those days are completely gone. I challenge them sometimes. I challenge them when they write something, I write them back and say, why are we so concerned building ourselves up and our checkbooks up? Why are we not building people up? Why are we not building people up? You know, if you gave me, some of these pastors are paying, and I know you say, Tom, Brother Tom, it's none of your business. Okay, I understand that. But why can't they fly Delta Airlines first class, and they fly all around the world? Why do you have to have a $70 million jet, maintenance on it, gas on it, and then when you land, you can walk to your $35 million mansion, and that's ministry? You know, come on, folks. We need to be building people and not building ourselves. But do we care anymore? Are your eyes closed? Are you turning the other way? Are you singing louder?
I challenge you this day to get back to the cross, to get back to Jesus, and fall deeper in love with him, that you'll never, never be the same. We need to wake up, because if we don't wake up, I'll tell you what, America can fall. And if you don't think it can, look at the people that are rising up. You know, you may not be able to have a home anymore. You may not be able to drive. They're going to tell you what to do, where to go, what jobs to have, and you won't have a nickel. You know, I've been to Haiti. That Haiti has been ravished. The gangs took over. You don't think a country can't fall? Go to Haiti. They're shooting down planes that even want to land in Haiti. You know, I've been to the border in North Korea, the border of the North and South, and I looked over and saw such eeriness, and the Korean soldier came up and spit on me. You know, that's not life. Jesus didn't want us living under communism. He didn't want us. He set us free. Go back to John 10:10. Let's go back to John 10:10. That I have come, that they may have life, and that they may have life more abundantly. Go see how that's working in China. And I know there's a lot of underground Christians in China. Look at Russia. I know there's underground churches in Russia. But those people don't even have any joy. If you look at them, they're sad. Everything's taken away from them. Listen, Christians, wake up. I come here every week to stir you, to encourage you, to draw you closer to Jesus like never before, that you will have the guts to stand up and say, enough is enough is enough. I've had it. Jesus is what's all about. Falling deeper in love with Jesus like never before. To know him like you've never known him before. Remember, the battle is not yours. The battle is Jesus. For you to fall deeper in love with him. Come on, folks. Wake up. It's time to wake up. It's time to know him. It's time to serve him. It's not time to close your eyes. Look the other way. Mother Teresa once quoted, poverty is when you look at the needs of the poor, but you turn your eyes and go live as you wish. Are we living in these days where no one cares anymore? All we want is things and stuff. People are important. People are important. People are important to Jesus. He went to that cross, shed his precious blood, that you and I might have life and have it abundantly. Are you living that abundant life? And if you're living that abundant life, then you need to stand up, speak up, and wake up. You do. And if you've fallen away from Jesus, today is the day of salvation, that you say, Lord, I've fallen away. Please come back into my life. Please wake me up, shake me up, stir me up, that I may know you once again as my Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, come into our lives. Fill us up. Let us be so on fire for Jesus. Burn our flesh up. I think John said, we must decrease, Jesus may increase. Let our flesh burn up. You know, my flesh gets in control. I stink. And I'm going to tell you, it stinks when I take control of stuff. I want Jesus to fill me up in the Holy Spirit, that I can be that light into the dark places that he's calling me and you as well. Come on, folks. Let's wake up. Let him stir you up. And may you never be the same. And, well, my time's just about up. And, you know, is it radical? Well, if you don't become radical, someone else is going to. The demon will walk all over you. You know, if you don't use the word of God, if you don't activate the power that he's given you within your life, the devil will run all over you. Guaranteed. You know, let's wake up to hear the essence of his heart, which beats people, people, people. I tell you what, you'll never be the same. Lord, I pray for the listeners that are listening that you would fire us all up, Father God. Fill us up to overflowing. And I pray, Father God, that you would bless Israel. Bless our country, America, Father God. We pray for the President, the Congress, the Senate, Father God. I pray for the listeners that you would stir them up. Me too, Father God, stir me up. I pray the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob on each and every one of you. Till next week, God richly, richly bless you.
You've been listening to Encouraging One Another Ministries, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us next Thursday at the same time for Encouraging One Another broadcast.